please. Kathy Davis and Tom Davis versus GNN Mortgage Corp. All right, counsel, you can proceed.
Good morning. I'm James Letourneur, representing the Davises. At the real estate closing, the Davises...
Could you talk louder, please? That doesn't amplify your voice.
Okay.
That just records.
I'll try. At their real estate mortgage closing, the Davises were presented with a stack of 28 documents consisting of over 43 pages, including both a two-year prepayment penalty rider and a five-year prepayment penalty rider. Both riders were on the lender's GN mortgage standard forms and had been filled in by GN.
Before you get to that, it seems like this is a $12,000 diversity case. Why is it in federal court?
It's brought under the Illinois Interest Act, which has a penalty for violation of the Interest Act of some percentage of the amount of interest, which is over $75,000, and it's brought on the basis of diversity. So the statutory minimum is met, and the parties are diverse.
Well, if you're right and what they actually bargained for was a two-year prepayment penalty as opposed to a five-year, I mean, that's your bottom line, isn't it?
That's correct.
You have 3 years of interest that would be due, and you say compounding whatever that three...
No. The Interest Act statutory penalty involves the amount of interest set forth on the mortgage, which on a home mortgage of, I believe it's about $250,000, is, I believe, somewhere in excess of $200,000.
You say that's a home mortgage, but in your statement of the facts, you say that this was for refinancing personal, non-business related debts.
Well, part of the refinancing is their prior home mortgage plus some other debts. And the it was secured by a mortgage on their home. So it is a home mortgage and a home mortgage loan.
I mean, that's not covered in the briefs at all, but was this matter of the $75,000 explored in the district court?
Yes, the district court specifically examined jurisdiction and found that the $75,000 limit was met. GN Mortgage's internal documentation shows that they had offered and approved a three-year mortgage. The Davises wanted a two-year mortgage, and their mortgage broker said that she had been able to negotiate the 2 years with GN.
Why didn't you have an affidavit from the mortgage broker?
We could not get an affidavit from the mortgage broker, although she said she would be willing to appear at a deposition and testify. Mortgage brokers do most of their dealings with the lenders, and they have an ongoing relationship with them. She would not come forward voluntarily, but she would tell the truth at a deposition where she was subpoenaed. The only thing clear about the closing is that something went wrong. Despite obvious fraud or error from GN's compilation of the documents, the district court entered summary judgment for the defendants.
Well, wait a minute. You talk about all these papers flying back and forth, and I think that sounds like a very typical closing. Been to a lot of closings, and who knows? You're getting papers to sign and so on, but this was, I would think, one of the most important documents, the prepayment penalty on a refinancing situation, and they clearly signed the one-page document that provided for a five-year prepayment penalty.
That is correct, and they were told that all of the documents that they received copies of were in the stack that they signed. There's two stacks brought out. The closing agent says they're identical. They sign one, they keep the other. They have a GN mortgage two-year prepayment penalty with the terms filled out. So they maintain they signed
both. Has it been signed by all parties?
Yes. They say they signed everything, and they received the unsigned copy. So they believe they signed a two-year mortgage. Now,
yes, we know they clearly signed a five-year.
We know they clearly signed a five-year. The question of the prepayment penalty, if you look at the prepayment penalty in prepayment penalties in this case, and they're the last two exhibits in the appendix attached to the brief, they are both one-page documents, and they look almost exactly the same. They're virtually identical. They have in capital letters twice, prepayment penalty note and prepayment penalty. They don't put two-year or five-year on either of them. They do not mention the term of the prepayment penalty until the fifth paragraph, next to last, where they say on one, 24 months, and they say on the other, 60 months. So you get one, you get the two-year penalty payment, you look at it, you see it's 2 years, you sign it. You then come later to the five-year, it looks like a duplicate, and you start down, and as the Davises said, they did not compare line by line, and I don't think anyone would, and they believe it is a duplicate. There are several duplicates. There are several documents that have duplicate copies. The truth in lending statement, the itemization of amount finance, the right to cancel, so it's not odd to get duplication.
Obviously, there's some major parole evidence rule problems in this case, but wasn't the evidence about the whole prepayment clause such that there was some negotiation about it?
The evidence which we submitted was that the Davises did not even want a three-year prepayment penalty, and they asked their broker to negotiate a two-year payment, and she said that GN had agreed to a two-year prepayment penalty. There was never any negotiation whatsoever on a five-year prepayment penalty. GN's first offer was 3 years. They were asked to cut it to 2 years. If you look, you have to draw the inferences most favorably to the non-movement. We have an offer of 3 years, we have a request for a two-year, and we have the mortgage broker saying she negotiated it. The inferences are that the Davis has never asked for and would not have accepted 5 years. The inference that has to be drawn by the court is that when GN offers 3 years and the Davis has asked for 2 years, they compromise on 5 years. That's preposterous. There is never any mention of a five-year prepayment penalty. And in fact,
but what it does show, though, is that this was an important part of the closing, important part of the pre-closing negotiations, what the prepayment penalty would be, and your client signed papers that it would be a five-year prepayment penalty.
The clients also signed all of the papers that they received copies of, which includes a two-year prepayment penalty. What happened to that? We don't know, but it was in the care of GN. Their affidavits only say it's not in their files now. They show no chain of custody, and they don't know what it was when it came back. But GN knew in the summary judgment motion that we were claiming that there was no five-year prepayment penalty, and their silence is deafening. They never say how, when, where a five-year prepayment penalty was negotiated. They say nothing about it, and even their own documents negate it. There was never an agreement on a three-year prepayment penalty, and on a five-year prepayment penalty, and we should at least take discovery, develop all of the facts before granting or even entertaining a summary judgment motion. We have no discovery on this.
You have 1 minute, sir.
Thank you very much.
Counsel.
Good morning. Nancy Temple on behalf of GN Mortgage and arguing for Countrywide as well. This case can be disposed of very simply on a few uncontested facts. And the legal standard for both the common law fraud claim and the common fraud act claim under Illinois state law is the same. The uncontested facts are that Mr. Davis and Mrs. Davis signed the 5-year prepayment charge contract. They had a full opportunity to read it before signing. That contract that Mr. Letourneau just pointed to in the record mentions that it's a 5-year contract 3 times on that page. It refers to the 60-month period for the interest charge twice, and it refers to the 5-year period at the bottom of the page as well.
Just why did you give him a 2-year contract then?
Judge,
present it to him.
They do have a copy of a blank 2-year contract. It's not.
And why was that done?
It's not uncommon for forms to be prepared before the deal is finalized. But the
deal. Give them a 2-year, even though they're negotiating.
Yes.
A 5-year.
So that the form could be prepared.
Why do you slip that one in?
The form was prepared as a possibility, and they received a copy of it, but it was not the final signed deal. There is no evidence that a 2-year contract was signed. Mr. Davis.
No, I'm asking you, why did you slip that one in when they were negotiating a 5-year?
There's no evidence that anything was slipped in. It was prepared as part of the loan documents before the loan was closed, before it was signed. It's
well,
a draft.
That's someone buying a Cadillac and showing a Volkswagen.
It's a draft unsigned version.
So, I mean 5 years and 2 years.
There are different possibilities depending on the terms of the loan. This was a subprime loan.
Well, as Judge Coffey said, though, you gave it to him.
You slipped it in. I mean, it's there. They weren't even talking about a 2-year.
According to the Davises, they were talking about a 2-year prepayment period.
Nobody talked about a 5-year, though, did they?
There was
according
no
to the Davises, according to the Davises, they did not talk about
well, how,
a 5-year period.
How about
period.
The bank?
According to GN Mortgage's files, they have the signed 5-year contract. If they could provide additional information in the record as to...
Well, but you didn't have any discovery.
That's true. There wasn't a discovery that was necessary because legally it doesn't make a difference. As long as the Davises had an opportunity to read what they signed, it's not deceptive or fraud as a matter of law.
What if you suddenly found a signed 2-year agreement?
Hypothetically, if there were a signed 2-year and a signed 5-year agreement, we still have a contract for them to pay a prepayment charge. The contract would then be ambiguous, and it would be a question of contract interpretation. You would consider objective evidence of the party's intent. But as the Davises have conceded here today, there was a contract, which then it falls within the Parity Act, and it is not an unlawful contract under the Illinois Interest Act. And there is clearly no fraud here. Both this court and the Illinois state courts have said, regardless of what oral representations may have been made, regardless of whether the Davises were told that the stacks of the documents were the same, if the Davises had a full opportunity to read what they were signing before they signed, they are bound by the written terms of that contract.
Is that under Illinois law?
That is under Illinois law.
Do you admit then that it was an inadvertent mistake on your firm's part?
No, we do not. We do not. It's a clear written contract that the mortgage lender needs to be able to rely upon in selling its loans to companies like Countrywide. All parties need to be able to rely on the written contract. This court, after we submitted our appellee brief, recently decided a case called Chromines Holloman Seibert versus AB Volvo. In that case, there was a written dealership agreement.
What is that site, please?
Sure, 349 F3rd 376, decided November 7th, 2003.
And I have that last number?
376.
All right,
page
thank
376.
You.
In that case...
Did you submit that to the opposing counsel?
I would be happy to do so.
Oh, I said,
did you submit it?
No, my research yesterday unveiled this case.
Well, don't you think that they should have an opportunity to respond to that case?
Yes. It applies.
So how long would you like to have to respond? 10 days? All right. Go ahead, continue with your argument.
Thank you, Your Honor. This case applies longstanding contract law principles, also addressed by this court in Causey Iron and Metal in 2001. And in this more recent case, there was a dealership contract between a dealer and a manufacturer. It said very clearly, termination without cause at any time. Then the manufacturer said, we will only terminate if your performance is not up to par. Volvo took over the manufacturer, and the court clearly held you cannot consider ex parole evidence because the contract was clear, had an opportunity to read it. The Davises said they had 2 hours at the closing to read 43 pages and sign them. They had 3 days to take the documents home and 3 days to rescind.
Well, I'm getting back to the original, or my initial question is, what if they signed both the 2 and the 5 years, since you gave them a stack that purportedly was identical to the ones that they signed?
Again, that's a hypothetical question. Mr. Davis,
hypothetical because there was no discovery.
Mr. Davis and Mrs. Davis had ample opportunity to testify that they signed a two-year contract. They did not. Mrs. Davis presented no affidavit. Mr. Davis's affidavit, if you look at it, says, I got this document, I have this unsigned version, I signed what was presented to me at the file. DN Mortgage and Countrywide produced their entire documents, and we only have a 5-year signed document. DN Mortgage did over 40,000 loan transactions last year. Unfortunately, all we have to go on is the loan file it here. And again, in that hypothetical situation, it would be assuming you have 2 signed versions, if you still have a contract. You don't fall under the Illinois Interest Act. It's a contract that's valid under the Federal Parity Act. And the question is, what was the party's intent, 2-year or 5-year? And you look at the objective evidence, not the subjective evidence. Otherwise, you'd have litigants coming to court saying, I know I signed this, but I really meant to sign
it
different.
You gave them the 2-year copy. I mean, they didn't gin that up themselves.
No, it was a form prepared by GN that the closing company, Tycor, gave to the Davises at the closing, according to the Davises. But it was not signed. There's no evidence here that it was actually signed. Again, it's legally, all these facts would not make a difference because under the Cromines case, Illinois law, and under the Consumer Fraud Act, the Bober case we cited in our brief, decided by the Seventh Circuit, says all information available to the plaintiffs, if they could not be deceived based on that information, there's no Consumer Fraud Act claim. And Miller versus William Chevrolet, which is a case cited from the Illinois First District Appellate Court in 2001, cited by the appellants in their reply brief at page 22. In that case, under the Consumer Fraud Act, said that the case, the claim was not viable because the guy bought a used car, and the contract it said it was executive driven. But a month before he signed the contract, he got a certificate of title that showed there was a prior owner and should have put him on notice that there were multiple miles on the car, more than an executive driven car would have been. Here the Davises had this contract and had ample opportunity to read it when they signed it at the closing and to read it at their leisure and rescind the agreement within 3 days afterwards. Thank you.
Counsel, you are going to serve the court with a copy of that case, too, please.
Yes, Your Honor.
Thank you. Counsel.
Counsel indicated that the 2-year prepayment penalty rider was prepared because it was a possibility. Their documentations talked about 3 years. The only reason it was a possibility is because they negotiated with the Davis's broker and agreed on a 2-year, and then they prepared the document. That is clear proof of what they had agreed to. She talks about reading these riders so carefully. If you read the prepayment penalty rider, it does not exempt from the note that there is no prepayment penalty because it has a provision in here that says notwithstanding and provision to the contrary, and makes no sense in there. They meant to say notwithstanding any provision. All of the GN drafters and proofreaders failed to catch that But because the Davises have two contracts, a two-year and a five-year, that look identical, they're going to bind them to it. If they want to take it, they don't have any
prepayment penalty. When they left the closing, did they have signed a five-year and a blank two-year?
No, they do not get any signed documents, I believe, except there is one signed document that they have to receive. All the others, the mortgage, the note, the penalties, and all of the myriad other documents they have are all unsigned. They only sign one copy.
Did they have an unsigned two and an unsigned five?
Yes, they had an unsigned two and an unsigned five. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Thank you, counsel. We will.